The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Ellie Kasambi has been quite prominent in the media recently. She was here on this programme for an interview a couple of Fridays ago about her intention to run for the Social Democrats in the forthcoming local elections in Dublin. Now, she's not available to join us on the programme this evening, nor is anybody from the Social Democrats able to join us either. After yesterday's story on the front page of the Sunday Times, written by Mark Tai, who joins us now. Tell us, for those who didn't see it, what you reported in the story yesterday, Mark.
Hi, Matt. We reported that there were discrepancies in the account that Ellie Kasambi had given in interviews to the likes of yourself, RTE, the Irish Times and the Irish Independent. So, obviously, it's an intriguing story that we have, for the first time, an asylum seeker, a female asylum seeker, seeking to be elected, in this case, Dublin City Council. From the first time, she was interviewed by a colleague of mine back in December. I was curious, you know, what would happen if she actually lost her case after, if she was elected. You know, could we have a case where a councillor would be deported from Ireland, which would be groundbreaking in all sorts of ways? And Ms. Kasambi has been quite reticent about talking about her asylum case in some interviews, but in recent interviews, including your own, she gave a lot of details. She talked about coming to Ireland in 2010, 2011, and said she'd been in direct provision since then. So that sparked me to look into, once she provided those details, to see if those facts were accurate. And what we were able to establish was that she actually came to Ireland, and instead of going to Belfast and claiming asylum, what she actually did was got a student visa here, moved to the UK, and while in the UK, sought asylum there. She was then deported from the UK and moved back to Ireland, and her initial application for asylum in Ireland was actually made in November 2011. The other thing we established was that post that asylum application, she moved to the UK for about 18 months in the period between January 2013 and May 2014. So while she's been saying that she's been in direct provision since the 2010-2011 period, that can't be possible because she was in the UK, and arising from that second trip to the UK, she was deported back to Ireland a second time. And those were facts that we outlined, stuff that she hadn't put out there previously, and that we thought it was important to say, well, look, this is what you said, but here are some facts, and they contradict what you said. Now, I did approach Ellie Kasambi Friday, 2 weeks ago, to put this to her. She confirmed some of the details and refused to get into the discrepancies, and that's where we've got to, I suppose. We did receive a legal thread as well, which we found a bit peculiar, saying it would be illegal for us to identify her as a person who's seeking asylum, although that's something that's on the Social Democrats website, and in all her interviews she openly talks about that fact.
Yeah, the Social Democrats gave us a statement. Ellie Kasambi is living legally in Ireland while her claim is being processed. It would not be fair or appropriate for the Social Democrats to comment on her case. Ellie has been active in highlighting the difficulties faced by people living in direct provision over the last number of years. So, Mark, I know it wouldn't have been your decision to put the story on the front page of the Sunday Times. That would be down to your editor. But why was the story, as you understand it, given such prominence?
Well, I don't think there's a local election candidate, Matt, that's got anything like the publicity that Ellie Kasambi has. She was on your show, she's been on the Ray Darcy show on RTE, she was on the front page of the Irish Times magazine, she's been on RTE numerous times. I know actually that some interviews have been pulled by RTE because they thought she was got too much coverage. You know, what she's doing is important in highlighting the problems with direct provision. I have no problems with that, but we put it on the front page because it was a big story, that the person who's going out there and talking about the problems with direct provision hasn't given accurate information about her own case. So on news values alone, someone that prominent, who's such an outspoken person, she's been in the Hozier music video, she's a very high-profile person, but she hasn't given a full account to the electorate, you know, which is the people who elect her in Dublin City Council. We thought it was a big story, and that's why it was on page one.
Shane O'Curry, director of ENAR Ireland, the European Network Against Racism. That sounds fair enough. What's your position?
Well, I mean, I suppose our interest in this case is that, you know, ENAR Ireland, as a coordinating organisation of 87 member organisations in Ireland, all concerned with various manifestations of racism. One of the areas of racism that we're interested in is online racism and any framings in the media that have the potential to enable or exacerbate racism in Irish society. And our concern about this article is that it is a a particularly unsympathetic framing of Elie Kisyombe.
Sorry, it's a factual outlining of the circumstances of the case. It's neither sympathetic nor unsympathetic. It's just a factual laying out of the situation.
Well, is it? I mean, you only have to look at the photograph on the front page of the Times to know that it's unsympathetic. I mean, if you know anybody who's ever met Elie Kisyombe or seen any of the myriad photographs of her around the place, knows that she's a very smiley, kind of happy person. And this is the single most unsympathetic photograph that I've ever seen of her. And the headline.
Sorry,
and the article
you're complaining about the photograph. Sorry, Mark Tye, can you explain the photograph to me?
Yeah,
I'm not the picture editor, but you know, we wanted a picture with her standing in front of Social Democrats branding. You know, to let people know. And
you couldn't find one with her smiling.
Shane, are you actually complaining that they didn't use a photograph of her smiling and saying that's deliberately unsympathetic?
What I'm saying is that there are a lot of points to make about the framing of this article, and there are points that need to be made about the article itself. I mean, there's no source given in the article. The Sunday Times has established that there are inconsistencies. How did Mark Tye establish those inconsistencies? Was that established from information
that more important than the inconsistencies in the story of a candidate who's putting herself forward for election?
Well, I think that I'd like to know that, you know, there are 949 seats being contested. So, you know, possibly thousands of candidates who are standing for election, the overwhelming majority of whom are white and Irish. And I'd like to know if this kind of level of scrutiny about people's backstories, you know, the stories that people put about themselves on their election literature, that is checked out with this level of scrutiny.
I think it is in many cases, Shane. Yeah, I think you'll find that there's been lots of people who stood for election over the years, be they white or not, be they male or female, who have had their backgrounds examined in considerable detail, yes.
Front page of the Sunday Times, Matt, with a really unsympathetic photograph. I mean, and, you know, you only have to look at the effects of this. But, you know, the far right are all over this story, like flies around the proverbial.
Are you suggesting that stories like this should be buried?
No, what I'm saying is that there's an onus on journalists to report responsibly about people who are potentially in a vulnerable situation. Elie is in the middle of a very complex legal process, so she's not in a position to comment on it, and she's not in a position to comment in any way that could jeopardize her case, which is ongoing, and yet it appears that partial and partisan information.
But hold on a second, Shane. Couldn't you say that that's her own fault?
And surely that's the real story.
Is it not the real story? I mean, for example, I asked her when she was here why Ireland, how Ireland was her first port of call coming into the European Union to seek asylum. She said that she flew directly from Addis Ababa to Ireland. Now, there weren't actually direct flights from Ethiopia to Ireland back in the time when she first came to Ireland.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know about that.
If a reporter finds out differently, they're entitled to report that when she is a candidate standing to go into the local government.
I think that is not important. I think that I actually don't care how she got here, and I don't care on what date she got here. And I think a lot of people don't care. You know, people fleeing war and persecution, and members of Elie's family have been killed, you know, and she had very real fears reasons to flee Malawi. People going through complex asylum processes have to.
I think people understand that, and many people are sympathetic to that.
But
if they're sympathetic and understanding, I think they expect to be told the truth about the situation rather than half truths.
I think that she may not be in a position to tell the full truth for reasons that she can't disclose at the moment. And I think that that is, I take her word for it on that.
Okay. I have to leave it there because I've gone way over the time that we had allotted and we have to get to the 5 of 5. But so thank you very much, Shane O'Curry from the European Network Against Racism and Mark Tye of the Sunday Times.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. on Today FM.